Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And it is apparently interview month.
It is.
We have yet another guest, and I'm very, very excited about this one, as we have Matt Scott on the line. Matt, are you there from Von Grimm Productions? Did I say everything right?
Yeah. I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah,
oh my God,
all,
this is a first. Someone write this down. Mark this day in the calendar. It will never be repeated.
I think it's because we practiced.
Maybe a little bit of practice. But us practice? No. Lies. But yes, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Going great. It is, like you noted before we went live, it's the busy season, a busy time. But other than that, A lot of fun is being had. It's actually decent weather here in New Orleans. It won't last.
Mm-hmm. So, where are you based out of?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you based at? What?
I'm based out of Nashville, Tennessee. I'm actually the head makeup effects artist at Nashville Nightmare Haunted House.
Cool.
And I'm recently moved, probably last 3-4 years to Nashville from East Tennessee, mm-hmm. and. I've been doing effects stuff for several years, pseudo-professionally. It wasn't until I moved to Nashville that I really kind of hit my stride and kind of got a lot of the networking done and really started making some connections to start running the business.
All right. Cool. That's cool. Yeah. So what is your background in haunting? How did you get started in this?
I got started in haunted houses in 2006 back in Upper East Tennessee at a little local haunted house called the Crone House, run by a man named Tim Harkelrode.
Okay.
And it was literally, I was in college, I was a theater student, and I was like, you know, I've always liked doing makeup and I like scary things. I think I'm going to try working in a haunted house.
You know, you've got to be the absolute first person to have had a logical introduction to how you got in the haunted house I've spoken with. Usually it's I was dragged into it by someone else, or I was always really weird and I had to do and I had to do this. Yours actually makes, you know, sense, like on a human level. And that kind of disturbs me a little bit. I've got to be honest.
Well, I mean, it all really stems from, like, I've never wanted to do just a normal job.
Right.
I have, you know, everyone's done it. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a very creative person. I like making things. I came from a musical family. My dad, my brother, both heavily involved in music.
Right.
You know, all of my siblings and I were all creative in different ways. And I was always the more theatrical kid. I was the one doing school plays. I was actually a professional wrestler for 10 years.
Oh, cool.
So I have a very weird history that's got me where I am now.
Right.
Okay, what was your professional wrestling name? I think this is an important question.
Well, my most recent one, the one that I was doing when I decided that I wasn't very good at wrestling.
Fair.
Was Honky Tonk Matt, the illegitimate son of the Honky Tonk Man.
Well, I have heard of the Honky Tonk Man, so, you know.
I was a wrestling fan during Honky Tonk Man's Intercontinental reign, so I'm dating myself here as I go. Okay, and I got to say, yeah, that was a little cringeworthy. I'm not gonna deny.
The sad part is that was the best one that I had. That was the one that. I got paid the most with that one. I actually got to work with Honky Tonk Man a couple of times.
Right.
So other than that, it was pretty lackluster.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, that felt like an important question to ask, and I regret it immediately. But, yeah, so that seemed like a very natural introduction into haunting. So you made the jump, and you started doing makeup and started doing that work for the small haunt. How was your introduction? How did it, like I said, how were the first few seasons for you? Were they a steep learning curve, or did you just, like, blend right in and it sort of flow like water?
It's a little of both. I mean, I was a sponge. I wanted to learn everything I possibly could.
Yeah.
I remember I emailed Tim while I was sitting at school in between classes, and he asked if I wanted to get lunch, so I actually skipped the next class I was supposed to go to and went to have lunch with him. And he told me I showed up, so I got the job.
I will say that it's not the first time I have heard about people getting haunt jobs that way.
Yeah.
It's definitely not the first.
Well, as people who recruit people to work in our haunt, it's important to have people show up.
Yeah, and that's kind of it is sometimes when you showing up in this industry, sometimes showing up is 90% of the work. Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
It is 90% because a lot of the stuff you have to learn on the job.
Yes.
So if you show up, you learn, and that's the end of it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Show up, you're willing to learn. You'll go far. It's a lot like what they tell you college is supposed to be like, and are lying when they say it about college. But here it's actually true. So yeah, what were some of the big things you had to learn right off the bat? What were some of the those initial hard lessons, if you will, or difficult lessons, I should say.
One of the hardest and most difficult lessons I had to learn, and I still struggle with learning it day to day, is that I don't know as much as I think I do.
Yeah.
That's why I have her. She reminds me of that all the time. It's very handy to ask.
Well,
I'll get myself into a situation and go, this water's a little deeper than I thought it was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's exactly how I felt the first time we tried to build a haunt.
Yeah, we sanity check each other all the time. But
I know that feeling of, oh yeah, we can do this. This is totally easy. 10 minutes later, what the hell was I thinking? Oh my God, I am drowning here.
Yes.
It's a moment, but also it's when you actually, and I'm sure you feel the same way, when you actually do manage to doggy paddle your way out of it, and usually it is that kind of inelegant doggy paddling, you feel so awesome, so conquery, even if you were flailing the entire time.
When you finally flail your way to the shore, and you step back and go, oh, I did that.
Yes!
Yeah.
And nobody saw how inelegant that looked.
I was under the water and no one saw me flailing.
Exactly. So.
But yeah, that was really my biggest thing, is just learning that, you know, haunt makeup was a whole different creature than, you know, what I'd seen on DVD extra features where you have 8 hours to do someone's makeup. No, if you're lucky, you have 10 minutes to get a makeup done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So the time is the biggest factor in your opinion.
Time management is probably the most valuable thing I've learned in the haunt industry.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So did you continue your college career, or did you stop right there and go into full-time haunt stuff?
I attempted to continue my college career.
Mm-hmm.
However, the end of it was not my decision. It was the financial aid department that decided that for me.
Gotcha.
Ah, that happens.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that, but yeah.
It wasn't anyone's fault but my own. It's because I wasn't doing well in all of my other classes. My theater classes I had straight A's in.
Right.
Because I cared about them and I was interested in it.
Right.
You know, it was my mathematics core classes that I had to have. I'm like, I'm never going to use this.
Right.
I'm never going to need to know how to...
Hey. Don't knock math. When you launch your second career as a drug dealer, you're going to need it.
I learned in high school I'm not good enough at math to do that. I could get killed perfectly.
My mom was a guidance counselor in the prison education system, and she always knew the drug dealers. They come in reading on like a third grade level, but doing like math on a college level. We know what you were doing on the streets, okay.
Yeah. Doing complex fractions in their head.
Yeah.
And metric
to a standard conversions and all, yeah.
Absolutely.
I can't do that stuff, so you know.
No.
But yeah, so I understand that completely. That's always disappointing though. But yeah. So
yeah, I mean,
oh, go ahead.
My life, like, it probably would have been a little easier on me to get to where I am now if I had that finished. But there's no guarantee that I would even be where I'm at now if I had have finished it. So.
Exactly.
Right, because...
Everything happens for a reason. I'm a strong believer in that.
Fair enough. Yeah. So, what are, in your mind, you mentioned time management. What are some of the other skills that you feel are absolutely necessary to do well with haunt makeup?
Well, it's not even specifically to haunt makeup, it's just haunting in general is you have to have the passion to do this.
Oh, yes.
There's a quote that one of the guys I work with at Nightmare says that we can't put the passion into you and we can't take the passion out of you.
Right.
You know, you're either going to want to do this or you're not.
Yeah.
Because I tell people, especially during auditions, when people come in, they think they want to do it, I tell them, say, It's fun, don't get me wrong, we have a blast, but you're going to be tired, you're going to not have a voice, you're going to lose a lot of sleep, you're going to be bruised, but if you're one of the people that enjoy it, there's nothing that can stop you from wanting to do it more.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
You know, and every year, at some point, during when the construction or prepared the run-up to open, we always have a moment like, why do we do this? Why do we do this to ourselves?
Yeah.
We're not obligated. This isn't our career.
Yeah.
We wouldn't need this to eat. What are we doing? What are we thinking? And then, like you said, the next morning the sun rises, the passion's back, and you keep going. I mean, that's just it. You're absolutely right. The passion is everything.
Oh, yeah. Because I had one season where I was like, I want to take a season off.
Yeah.
2 weeks into it, I was like, what am I going to do with all my time now? I'm sitting at home bored out of my mind.
Yeah, I could see that happening. We've debated taking a season off, but mainly just to go and visit other haunts and see what they're doing. But
absolutely. And
that doesn't take...
That's definitely what I miss the most about being working in a haunt is not getting to see other haunts.
Right. Yeah.
And that's one of the things that always stops us because we keep thinking maybe we want to take this really the next level, go full on professional with it. And then it's like, but then we wouldn't be able to see the haunts that we do, the limited number of haunts we do get to see.
Yeah.
And
right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I would miss that too much, I think. I love going to haunts as much as I love building and working inside them and on them.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what gets everybody started wanting to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
Is you've gone to a haunted house at some point and you really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's typically the natural progression is you either start working in them or you grow out of them.
Right.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, when someone wants to get into the business of haunt makeup or mask making, what are some tips that you could give them to get into this business?
Oh, man. Practice and study and learn as much as you can from everyone that you possibly can.
Yeah.
I'm constantly looking up on YouTube and just Google in general, just mask makers, and I'm looking at other products. I'm learning new materials. And for me, it's kind of from a nerd standpoint. Like, I just love effects. I love monsters. I love mask making. I just want to learn as much of it as I can.
Right.
And, like, to me, there's nothing more fun and nothing cooler to me than hanging out with other people that do this and that are good at it, because you're going to learn something. You're going to have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
Like, that's my biggest thing. You know, every year I take my vacation and go to Transworld.
Yeah.
And people ask me, like, oh, well, why don't you, you know, go to the beach? Because I'd be bored out of my mind sitting at the beach.
Yeah.
I go to Transworld and I talk to mask makers and I have a blast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just learn as much as you can and practice. Because just when you think you've got something figured out, there's going to be someone coming along right behind you that's as good or better than you are.
Right.
And if you're in it to try and, you know, run a business and be successful doing it, you have to stay on top of what's popular and what people are buying. And if you're not studying the market and studying the materials and the process, you're not going to know that.
Right. So when did you make the jump, or have you made completely the jump from doing haunt makeup into full builds of mask?
I still do both of them pretty evenly.
Mm-hmm.
The mask making is definitely what supplements me through the rest of the year.
Right.
Of, you know, being able to just creatively supplement, gives me an outlet to get these things out of my head and into the real world. Mm-hmm. And plus I make masks for the haunt. I make masks for sale. So, right. I mean, and during season and during our events, like we've got an event coming up next weekend that I'm still running the makeup department and still applying makeups for that. So, I mean, I'll probably never quit doing makeup unless I can't make the time to do it.
Right.
I mean, that's my initial passion, and that's what I fell in love with at 9 years old, is doing makeup.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So what do you think, you got your start in 2006, basically.
Yeah.
What do you think the influence of YouTube has been on this industry in terms of helping people learn and helping people explore?
I describe YouTube as a double-edged sword for knowledge. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of really valuable information on YouTube, and there's also a lot of really misinformation on YouTube, and I've seen some really dangerous tutorial videos that people do. And I always tell people, check your source of the video, you know, do some background, see if they're a reputable source, see if they actually know what they're talking about, especially when it comes to something like life casting or anything like that, because I've seen some really scary life cast videos.
Right.
That, yeah. one mishap and that person's not coming out of that life cast. So that's really, really how I feel about YouTube. Is it's a really valuable tool, but you need to be careful with it and know where your material is coming from. I mean, there's lots. The Stan Winston School puts so much just free stuff on YouTube, free like previews and chapters that you can watch. They're phenomenal. And then if you choose to enroll in that, then by all means, I suggest it, because it's an invaluable resource.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point about the dangers of YouTube, though. That's something that a lot of people don't really think about.
Yeah.
I admit I'm guilty of it myself, but you're right. I've watched a couple of live casting videos where I'm like, oh, that dude did.
Yeah, I saw one, and I think it was like a Spanish video, and they had just built a wall around a person's head, like a retaining dam around their entire head, and just started pouring plaster in it.
Oh, hell no. Hell to the, like a little, like, box, like a medieval torture device,
yeah,
thing?
Oh, it looked like they were in a medieval torture device. And
okay,
they
dump the
plaster.
Jesus.
And I'm thinking, like, immediately alarm bells start going off. One, they're going to drown because they're going to be covered in liquid. Two, even if you did have a way for them to breathe, their head's encased in solid stone.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get a mold or a living friend anymore.
Yeah. And, well, at least, like you said, the likeness they have at the funeral will be very good.
It'll be perfect.
It will be perfect. But you'll be immortalized that way. That's the only way.
Yeah.
You're right. I'd not even thought of that. Wow. That is, yeah.
And I see people that do, like, life casting is usually my go-to warning for videos on YouTube, because I've seen so many bad ones.
Yeah.
I still see people putting straws in people's nose, and
oh, yeah.
All it takes is one bump of a straw, and worst case scenario, you jam it in their brain. Best case scenario, you give them a horrible nosebleed and it ruins your casting, and you've wasted time and material and hurt your friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so fair enough. But I gotta say, I have actually gained a lot personally from makeup tutorials on YouTube. The makeup ones in particular have been, some of them have been actually really helpful.
Yeah, and I don't mean by any means to belittle the
valuable ones
that are on.
No, I think
because
your warning is a very, very good one.
I just don't want to see people get hurt and then get scared away from doing what they want to, if they want to learn how to do this. By all means, I want more and more people to learn how to do it to keep the art alive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Learn correctly.
Yeah, your warning is actually well advised. I think that's a beautiful warning that everyone should get. Like I said, one of the things we have gained a lot from YouTube, though, on learning how to work with, like, LaTeX, for example, mm-hmm. because, you know, we both come from artistic backgrounds, but not makeup backgrounds, and so
Right. Learning
how to take things that you learn how to do to a wall and do it to a person,
mm-hmm.
YouTube has been very helpful for that, and I've really, really enjoyed
absolutely.
That. And so, yeah.
And it's a wonderful community online for people to ask questions and learn from people. And I'm a very visual learner. Exactly, so YouTube is incredible. Like, I remember back before YouTube was even a big deal, like when it was first starting out and it was mostly just like cat videos.
Cat videos, like, and pirated Simpsons episodes, hello.
Yes. Yeah. Most information for makeup or haunting in general was really kind of poorly built websites where you had to scroll through link after link after link to try and find the information you're looking for.
Yeah.
And then when you find it, it's just a page of text, and I can only read for so long before I'm like, okay, I see something shiny, I've lost interest.
Yeah.
I'm a very visual learner, and for me, YouTube is incredible for that. And the fact that there's video tutorials by guys like Rick Baker that show you how to do stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
It's incredible.
Yeah, we're going to have to put some of these channels in the actual show notes so others can find them. You mentioned a couple of great ones, I think. So, yeah, we'll make sure to include those in show notes. But yeah, you are right, though. There's a lot of bad information on YouTube, especially about live casting.
Yeah.
It's one of the things, like, I can't even fault the people who put it up there. They're just misinformed.
Right.
It's not like anyone's out there putting up stuff with the intention of getting someone hurt. It's just someone who, like I said earlier, someone who maybe thinks they know more than they really do.
Right.
Right. Oh, and it's one of those things. And I think one of the advantages that, you know, you have from what you've said, and I think a lot of other people don't have, is that you kind of recognize your own stupidity at times.
Limitations.
Yeah. Thank you for putting it more generously. Yeah.
No, you're right the first time.
But, you know, we when you recognize your own limitations, you become much, much better in the industry because at anything, because that A, pushes you to grow, and B, it keeps you from putting out stupid videos that might get people killed on live casting.
Yeah, we actually had a friend who almost had a medical emergency because they did one of the duct tape bodies. Mm-hmm. And when they were getting wrapped, the person wrapped too tight.
Yep.
And they couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And that's easy to do. You
know? Yeah.
It's something that if you don't think about that ahead of time, by the time you realize it's happening, you're pretty far in.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've seen some live casting go wrong. Not too wrong. No actual injuries or anything like that. Right. But yeah, we've seen a few go wrong.
Yeah.
So, yes, very good warnings all around.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about the type of business you run now and basically what it is you do to fill your 12 months a year and keep so crazy busy.
My business of Von Grimm Productions is primarily mask maker. We do sock masks, quick pull-on, pull-off socks. That I got started when I was working at Ripley's Haunted Adventure in Gatlinburg. When we were on slow season, I would take old prosthetics and throw them on a pantyhose sock and have a mask for the season.
Yeah.
And I just kind of expanded on those, started making them more and more detailed. And that's primarily that, and our new line of burlap masks that I've just started within the last month are primarily what I do. But there's also, we have a line of our own permanent high gloss blood paint, similar to Permablood.
Right.
And a lot of my stuff stems from being extremely, like, cheap and not wanting to to pay for someone else's product.
Yeah.
Well, and that's also the haunter way, man.
Yeah.
It's part of, like, a mindset of mine, like, well, I think I can make that, and I just want to see if I can.
Yeah.
And then when I figure out that I can, I'm like, oh, okay, well, now I'll just make my own.
Yeah.
And it started out, I was just making it for a haunt that I worked for, and other haunters came in and saw it, and the owner was like, oh, well, Matt makes this. Like, oh, well, can I buy some from you? And I was like, well, if people are willing to buy mine, I should start selling it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's how a good business starts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm the world's worst at thinking that anything I do, anyone else would be interested in buying.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I totally get that.
I think it's the artist in me is like, well, I'm just doing this because it's something I need to do.
Right.
Like, from an artist standpoint.
Yeah.
You are a crafter. At the end of the day, you are a crafter.
Yeah.
Like, every knitter, crocheter, painter, whatever, any craft it is, you do it for the love of it, and then you're kind of surprised when people want to pay for it, and then you don't know how much to charge for it or what to do with it. And
yeah, because I'm like, well, if I charge too much, then they're going to think I'm full of myself.
Exactly, yes. Oh, God, this is so funny.
But if I don't charge enough, then I'm just losing money, and then it's not worth it. We've got the blood paint. We also have a line of appliances and prosthetics that we do. We do silicone appliances. We do latex appliances.
Mm-hmm.
I've also got a line of water slide, like Tinsley-style transfers that we're doing that are a lifesaver in a haunt environment because you can put them on in 5 minutes and you're done.
Yeah.
And
it's a three-dimensional makeup that looks really good when people see it. We even use it on some of our queue line actors that we're, you know, hyper aware of people are going to be seeing them up close for longer periods of time. So it has to look good.
Very cool.
I tell people, like, if you're inside the haunt, a quick 10-minute airbrush sunken in zombie look will be fine because they're going to see you for 5 seconds maximum in the dark.
Yeah.
Or we'll put you in a mask.
Yeah.
There's a reason why our queue line people here have the best masks and best makeup.
Yeah. They're going to be seen for the longest periods of time and scrutinized up close. So,
oh, yeah.
And this is really important. They're going to be the ones featured in the photos that people are going to share with their friends and put on social media. And that's something else to think about, too, because I've been to a few haunts where the people front of house either aren't in costume, and that's boring, but also where those that are not, they don't look so good when they're put on Facebook.
Right.
And I've seen queue line actors that will have a silicone mask on, and that's where the character stops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rest are wearing their normal T-shirt and jeans, and they're walking around talking to people.
Yeah.
And, like, this drives me up the wall for multiple reasons.
and our main character is a guy named Bernie. Bernie Baxter's name. And we took an old man mask. And so theoretically, you could take this old man mask, this higher end old man mask, and you can make so many directions with it. You can make him just like a general old man. But what we did is old man mask, top hat, coattails, cane, and he's a carnival barker.
Yeah.
A carnival barker from hell, and it works, and it all meshes so well together. But I could easily see how you could take that mask so many other directions.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And why you wouldn't do that kills me.
Well, this guy, he was wearing like a demon silicone mask that was like dark gray.
You should have
been
a wife beater.
Yeah, and he was like I think he was wearing like a t-shirt. It wasn't even the haunted house's t-shirt. It was just like Eat It Joe's t-shirt. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Making us all look bad.
Yeah.
Are you sure he worked for the haunt? Because
he might just have showed up.
Yeah.
He was the haunt owner's son, so I don't think he worked for the haunt, but he was there.
Gotcha. That makes a little more sense.
The family of the haunt owners is always difficult, because sometimes they are really awesome, and sometimes less so. I get that. Uh-huh. It's tough. Family can be very tough.
Yeah.
So, you talked a little bit about your 3D makeup effects that you could do really quick. What other time-saving tips? Because I know we're always, time is the number one limiter for makeup.
I think that's for everybody.
I think that's for everyone.
Yeah.
But so what are some other time-saving tips?
Stencils for airbrushing are a lifesaver.
I'm writing this down. Hang on. That's a great idea, yes.
Like, especially like veining stencils or just skin, like breakup texture stencils will save so much time. I've got them for veins. I've got scales, like reptile scales.
Right.
And actually, fishnet pantyhose are really good for reptile scale stencils.
I could see that.
I see that. Yeah. Yes. That works.
Yes. Going back to the inexpensive approach.
I mean, I'm all about the highest output quality for the lowest input money.
Right.
Like, again, it's a haunter thing, you know.
Yeah.
There's a great video that the Bloodshed Brothers have on YouTube, and there's a segment like, oh, I could totally make a prop out of this.
Uh-huh.
And, to me, it sums up being a haunter from top to bottom. Of you look at a pile of what other people would say, this is a pile of garbage that needs to be thrown away, and go, no, this can go in the asylum. This can go in the mortuary. Yeah. And I mean, one of our guys here, that's his whole. We joke that that's his whole spiel, is he can take what he calls haunt porn and make a scene that's incredible with it, because it's all legitimate looking stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's like the old joke, what's the difference between a haunter and a homeless person? The haunter brings a truck when they go to visit the dumpsters.
So I have never actually heard that one. That's good.
Yeah.
I'll have to share that one.
What was it that told me that one? For some of the local haunt owners.
I don't remember hearing that either. So
okay.
That's good.
But yeah, it's true though. It's true. I mean, I have no shame about dumpster diving. Neither should anyone else. No. That's how you get the best stuff.
Not at all.
Oh god! Yeah. Like I remember the day I was so excited. The day we found like 50 pounds of vinyl siding scrap.
Oh yeah,
that was Christmas. Oh yeah. My god.
Dude, absolutely.
And Krylon Touch, you can make that any color you want. Oh my, the Fevas. The Fevas.
Yeah.
Getting
we actually spray painted a lot of it with the metallic silver, and it took it really well, and it looks...
Yeah, and went in our 60s diner sequence, because it looked like the chrome
awesome.
That they used
exactly.
to... Oh, it was perfect.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, God.
See, other time-saving tips. One thing that we do here is about a month or so before season, and this is just how we handle it. Just about a month or so before season, we set up a weekly makeup artist practice.
Yeah.
Where we'll have actors come and volunteer to be models, and we do time trials. You know, all right, here's your makeup we want you to replicate. We give them a picture, and you have 15 minutes. And that helps me, one, not only help everyone get faster and improve, but it also helps me see where certain people are stronger, and if someone's really good at doing quick airbrush zombie makeups, then I know I can send all my zombies to them and they'll get them knocked out.
Right.
Or if someone's really good at doing really detailed veining, then if I have a possession makeup, I send them to them.
Right. Yeah.
So it's, that just comes down to just practice. Just learn the techniques that can make the process get done quicker. You know, learn anatomy, learn where shading should be, so you're not having to adjust as you go.
Yeah,
because I've seen a lot of, and I was guilty of it when I first started, of really misplaced shadows.
Right.
A lot of my early makeups look like raccoons with triangles on the sides of their heads, because that's what I thought temples would look like shaded.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Saying learn anatomy, and I think Crystal's having nightmare flashbacks to college and biology class.
Well, it's my phone's making noises.
It's okay. The risks of live podcasting.
Yeah. It's really hard for me, like, the anatomy stuff, because I get so much flack for this as an effects artist. The sight of real injuries and real blood makes me nauseous.
Okay.
So looking up reference photos when I'm sculpting or if I'm doing a makeup is really difficult, because I nicked my thumb with an angle grinder at my regular day job.
Right.
And I passed out.
Gotcha.
Never passed out before in my life, but I fell out on the floor because I saw blood.
Yeah.
And I wake up and people are going, how do you work at the haunted house? Like, in my head, I can say, this is real, this isn't.
Yeah.
Yes, and no, and that makes sense, but at the same time,
it's a corn syrup, this is not.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is dyed corn syrup / and what flows in my veins, hopefully, is not corn syrup. Otherwise, I'd probably have much bigger problems.
Yes.
I don't know, I'm a big Southern boy, so I'm sure there's probably a little bit of corn syrup and gravy in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm from South Carolina originally, I understand.
There you go.
Louisiana here, so.
You know, we're all on the same page from a culinary standpoint.
Yes.
If we can fry it, we will.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I went to the state fairs with the fried, with that exact sign, pretty much. If it fits in the deep fryer, yeah. We'll deep fry 44 feet.
We'll fry what we've already fried. We'll double fry.
Exactly.
But yeah, just, and anatomy is just important just in general for makeup or mask making or anything like that, because if you have a general basis knowledge of at least the facial anatomy, then again, it comes down to painting, makes painting quicker. It makes, if you're making a mutant character, you can adjust the anatomy and you already know where things are at. And it's really, I can't express anatomy enough to people if they're wanting to do makeup or monsters.
Yeah.
And it's important to know the rules so you know when and how to break them to sort of push your makeup into that uncanny valley.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know, I tell people all the time, say, you know, monsters are easy because you don't have to follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But doing an old age makeup or a witch makeup on somebody, that's a lot harder because the human body ages a certain way.
Right.
And, you know, gravity pulls things in a certain way, and you need to know where those wrinkles need to go.
Yeah, it's much harder to draw, like in two dimensions, an old person versus a young person.
Absolutely.
Because there's so much more detail, so many things that are misshapen, but as you said, misshapen in a very specific way. It's not.
Yeah.
You can't just like play the football and run with it.
Well, and lot of times, you know, I would see people in art class, in the beginning art classes, who would just draw little squiggles for lines all over her face to make it look old. And no, you just made it look like a raisin, you know.
Yeah. Now you look like one of the California raisins instead of a grandfather.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the. The second cousin to a California raisin because it's not that good, but
it's the Idaho raisins.
Leave me alone. Yeah, the lesser known Idaho raisins.
Yes, exactly.
And I think a lot of that stems from, like, I study just from a haunter, directly haunter standpoint, not specifically makeup, but study psychology and understand things that people will notice that they don't even realize they've noticed.
Oh yeah.
And that's where old age makeups are really easy to spot a bad one, because your brain automatically finds things that shouldn't be where they are or should be where they're not.
Right.
And that's why details within like your scene or anything like that can make or break a scene.
Definitely.
Stuff all the way down to, and I forget who I heard say this, they said even if you just paint what should be an electrical outlet on your walls, your brain automatically registers, oh, well, there's electric current in this building. This must be real.
Right.
And it's stuff that it's weird. Like, people laugh at me sometimes when I say the psychology of haunting. But it's true. You know, there's things that your brain will pick up on.
Well, if anyone laughs at you when you say the psychology of haunting, that they shouldn't be laughing at that. That's very, very real.
Yeah.
And, like, one of my I guess you would say my discomfort zones in a haunt is the uncanny valley.
Mm-hmm.
And when haunts are able to use that really well, sometimes, like you said, a bad makeup uses it accidentally.
Yes.
And that doesn't work as good because then you're using it in the wrong place. But when a haunt able to pull that off, both with the room and with the person in it, and really, that's so deeply unsettling to me. It sets me up perfectly to be scared.
Well, and I think, you know, those things that you notice, even as a haunter, because I look for different things when I go through a haunt than regular
customers.
Yeah. There was a haunt that we went through that really got me with a fake door, because they had put light around, basically they had put a piece of plywood with lighting behind it, and it included the hinges.
Oh, wow.
They had
the actual hinges. So I'm like, that's hinges. That's a door. Why aren't you opening the door to let us go to the next scene? And the door was on the other side of the room. And, you know, it was just, your eye was drawn to that one because it had all of the real stuff that you don't think about.
Yeah, just enough. I mean, I'm sure if we'd looked at it in the bright light and all that, we would have more clearly seen. But,
yeah.
And that's, I guess, one of the things is that, and that's, maybe you can definitely tell me how wrong I am. But with makeup and haunting, the goal is not to be perfect. It's to be good enough to reach that trigger point that it registers as real in the moment.
Oh, absolutely. I tell people all the time, especially like new artists coming in, cause I've got some that come in that are really detail-oriented and they want to movie-quality makeup. I say, I appreciate your quality of makeup that you can do. Mm-hmm. It's not necessary for what we're doing.
Right.
I tell people a lot of times, look at theatrical makeup or opera makeup, stuff that's really over the top.
Yeah.
And we're closer to that because it needs to register quickly that they're threatening or there's something wrong or something not right about this person. I shouldn't go near them.
Right.
And if it looks highly detailed like you would in a film, we don't have the benefit of giving them a 30-second close up to look at that makeup.
Yeah.
It has to register quickly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you push past where I would say we could stop for something if it were on a photo shoot or a commercial or something like that, because it all boils down to your fighting time.
Yeah.
Time is the one asset that we all need that we can never have enough of.
Right. You're fighting time, and also the brain actually will fill in a lot of those details for you if you can get it close enough.
And I think one of the smartest things I've heard on this subject, and this sounds like a crazy source, is actually Weird Al Yankovic. because he did the Fat music video, the music video for Fat, many, many decades ago. And he talked about how it was like 3 hours in and out of that suit. To do it, to do the music video. And it was a huge headache, it was a huge pain. And yet if you go to one of his concerts, which recommend highly, but if you go to one of the shows, he actually changes into the suit just like in a moment between songs.
Right.
And it looks totally convincing. And if someone asks, how the hell do you do that? It's like and that's what he says. Basically, there's a huge difference between what you do when you're going to be on camera close up and where the nearest person's 20 feet away from you.
Right.
Absolutely. That use that 20-foot rule.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's
you can get away with murder with a 20-foot rule.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what he said. Basically, said, this is what we do. And so I'm able to do it in 30 seconds to a minute rather than 3 hours. And that's the difference. So yeah, we're not doing movie quality makeup. And I think it's interesting because we talk about haunts needing movie quality sets all the time because you are looking at those walls and you do have all gear to work on them.
Yeah.
But you don't have that need for movie quality makeup and movie quality masks.
And as a makeup artist, that was a real hard thing for me to get over.
And that was my next question.
Especially in the mask realm, because when I first started, I was so like, no, don't put him in a mask. We'll do makeup on him, because when you're in a mask, your speech is muffled and there's all sorts of things you have to worry about and may not read as well. Put him in makeup. Mm-hmm. Well, after going through a couple of seasons going, I don't have enough time to get all these makeups done. And the owner's coming and yelling at me. We opened in 5 minutes and I have a line of 30 people, that still need makeup. You know, I just kind of had to embrace, I don't have to make something that's going to win an Academy Award for the haunted house.
Right.
I don't, and that's when I really kind of embraced mask making. It was like, okay, well, I can take that time and put that detail into my masks and then put it in an actor and they put it on and it looks like I spent a 4-hour makeup job on them.
Yes. Yeah. And,
then it hurts when they come back and the mask is ripped, but that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
I managed not to tear my mask. It's sitting right behind me now. We've walked about 6 years in that.
There's some people that can take care of them and treat them like they're, as expensive of an investment as they are. Mm-hmm. And then there's some people that just don't care because it's not theirs.
Yeah, I guess that's the difference. I paid for my mask, so therefore it gets cared for accordingly.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell them here is like, you need to start charging people when they rip a silicone mask.
Yeah.
Because I get at least 2 to 3 silicone masks per season that are just destroyed.
Oh.
And that makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, that hurts.
That hurts me, man. And I'm all the way in New Orleans.
Yeah. You had mentioned that you make masks with haunters in mind. Mm-hmm. And you've got a new line coming out. Tell us a little bit about the new line of mask.
The burlap masks, they're all, I do want a slightly oversized head form, so they go on easy.
Right.
There's no pulling and tugging on it. So that
I hereby
one
appreciate this already.
Well, I do too. I will mention that at least in our haunt, we have 6 guys that are over 6 foot tall, 6'4" actually. Mm-hmm. They're over 6'4". So they have, it's hard to find mask for them.
And I have kind of a weird misshapen head too.
So that's where all the tall haunt actors are at.
Yes.
We're all here in New Orleans hanging out at our...
Yeah.
We have at least 4, sometimes 8.
I am the shortest male actor in the haunt, and I'm 6 foot even.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm 6 even, and I'm one of the bigger guys here, so...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think
I need to go visit you then.
I think our tallest is 6'6".
Yeah, we have... is Chris 6'7" or 6'8"?
He's 6'7" or... It doesn't matter.
Who
anyway, back to the burlap mask. Back to the burlap mask.
Stay on topic. Stay on target.
burlap masks. But I started making the burlap masks. One, because I was at Transworld this year, back in March.
Right.
And I was like, man... I've apparently missed the burlap bandwagon. I need to get on this.
Yeah.
So I came home and I just started coming up with some ideas for some masks. And like I said, I made them, I do a bulked out head form, so they're slightly larger, easier to get on and get off. They're, yeah. I do a full cotton sock on the inside that's intrinsically bonded. So there's material all the way through it. So when I put the burlap on, it stays on that sock, but it's comfortable. There's no burlap itching against your face or rubbing you raw.
That's nice.
they're all lace up the back. So if you have a guy whose head's a little bit smaller, he can tighten it up, or a little bit bigger, he can loosen it up. It gives more space.
Right.
And they're all like high quality, strong burlap. It's not, your typical crafter burlap that you're going to go and buy at Joann's that
right.
may rip really easily. It's high grade burlap that I've gotten different weaves, so some look a little bit different than others. Each one is a unique one-off piece. So, I mean, everything that you get, it's going to be the only one like it.
Very cool.
And, yeah. I mean, I tell people that, but I also say if you see one that you like on the website that is sold, I can get it pretty close to what it was,
yeah.
but each one's handmade, so there's no two that are identical.
Yeah.
Right.
I found a lot of haunters like that because they can say, oh, well, I have this one, and it's the only one that's like it.
Exactly.
Because there's people that really like that exclusivity, the, this is our creature.
Yeah.
I agree.
Haunters in mind, like I said, it's just the haunters in mind thing is just I try and keep my prices low because I know haunters are always on a budget. Even
right.
when you're Netherworld, they still have a budget. It's just bigger than others.
Right.
And especially the per actor budget.
Oh, absolutely.
That's where it gets painful sometimes.
Yeah. But I try to keep my costs as low as possible. I work with people on stuff. If someone contacts me and says, hey, I have an idea for a design. I want to do a custom mask. I'm not going to rake you over the coals for it. I'm going to charge you pretty much normal cost for it.
Right.
Pretty much because I don't really have a specific price breakdown for that. It's happened so few times here lately that I haven't really had to deal with it.
Right.
but I try and keep everything, budget friendly because I'm not out to make $1 million off of masks. I just like getting my art out there and having people appreciate it and want to use it.
Very cool.
Very, very
cool. And also, there's also things like I go in and I reinforce all of the stress points. Like I put power mesh around the eyes and the neck because I know they're going to get pulled on and they're going to get tugged on.
Right.
So that's really what with haunters in mind aspect is. It's just things I know get torn up that I try and prevent as best I can. And anything that I sell is always, if it tears up, give me a call, ship it to me, I'll fix it, or we'll get you another one or something like that.
I'm on your site currently, and I just now realized this like 2 seconds ago, you do silicone mask repair.
Yes, I do.
Absolutely. I do. That is awesome.
A lot of that has come from just, And like I said, a lot of that has come from just having to do it.
Yeah.
I'm patching silicone masks, there's one, they're actually the one that's on that
that page, the flayed Frank, it was actually ripped from the corner of the bib at the shoulder all the way up behind the ear.
Wow.
On one side. And wow. Had been that way for months when I got a hold of it. And I went in and I prepped all the silicone so the new silicone would bond to it. And I reinforced it with power mesh and made sure it was completely encased in new silicone, and then repainted it, and you can't really see a difference between what was there and what was new.
Okay. Well, we are almost out of time, so real fast, tell all the nice people listening where they can find you, where they can obtain your stuff and your services, and follow you on all the important social media platforms and so forth.
Absolutely. You can find us at www.vongrimproductions.com. One N, two M's. I have to specify.
Yeah.
Or at facebook.com/vongrimproductions. We're also on Instagram. It's MattVGP on there, and I'm constantly putting up new pictures of stuff I'm making, whether it be sculpts or new masks or anything like that. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all of my platforms that I'm on. I have accounts on others, but I'm never on them.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Cover the major bases. Well, yeah. Matt, yeah. Thank you so much for this and providing some great insight into this area. Loved having you. We're going to have you back at some point to talk more about this. But yeah, this is a fascinating world looking into the behind the scenes of mask making and haunt makeup in a way that we don't often get to see.
Right.
Well,
absolutely.
On that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And that's Matt.
Yeah.
And this has been and this has been Haunt Weekly. Be sure to follow us at hauntweekly.com, Facebook and Twitter. We're Haunt Weekly there. Thanks again, Matt, for a wonderful, wonderful hour. We greatly appreciate having you. And we will see you guys next time.